Right now, the world is inundated with multiple people who see themselves as Bible scholars, which is not a good thing because they're self-proclaimed. What actually makes somebody that? Man has done that to make some feel puffed up. We rely on outside sources instead of the only truth in order for us to understand the Word of God. I've seen some people who do it on their own and think they're scholars and they're misled. I've seen some that have gone to some sort of industry worldly teaching or institution, college of some sort, and they usually know more about that organization's way of worship, but not the truth. What's so hard about this is the ones that truly would have it, you're going to watch them and their actions will show they have it. They go out of their way to bring in other Christians to all have the same mind. How do I know that? That's in the Word of God. Now, this is not rocket science. It's not a big secret. Do you understand? I am no brilliant man that all of a sudden I just figured out stuff on my own. The only thing I am is one that understands a full trust in God in His Word. So I'm going to pass on to you. How can you have a clear, strong understanding of the Bible? This order of my steps are keys to understanding the Bible. Now, as we dive into this, let us take our time with a focus. I'm going to go through step by step, but I want to first make you understand what you're looking at, what is ahead of you at this moment. Many study the Bible without ever getting to know the Bible, and that's a shame because it's only their fault. John 5:39-40 says, "You diligently study scriptures," which many do. There are many people, they spend as much time as they can studying the Bible. That's diligence. That's somebody who's really putting the time in. He says, "Because you think that by them you possess eternal life." Sounds good as well. But watch what he says here. "These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." What we have done, some of us will say, "I'm going into this word in order to worship God." But then we went in and allowed ourselves to accept or reject what we're going to do. We still do that today. There's certain things that we read clearly. And it's not because it's a little unclear on what to do. It's because it doesn't fit my understanding. It doesn't fit how I thought God should function. So either I eliminate it or I distort it. Today, there is a new way that most ministers tell people to do. They tell you to go back into the history and say whatever they did during that history will mold on how you're supposed to handle that scripture. And more, I keep hearing them use some historical fact to say this is why you don't have to do this. Many are constantly learning, while in reality, they are learning nothing. And this is a product of the terrible time people, as we see in 2 Timothy 3. At the end of that, he says, and he's talking about the people that are being misled and who are easily deceived. He says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, "Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth." What Satan has done successfully is we will start measuring by worldly approval, worldly outcomes. And we'll allow people who say they're Christian and you never check their fruit to give you approval on how well you're doing. And you'll stick in the wrong path without saying, "Wait a minute, you just told me I'm doing right. Show me what you're measuring this by." How we understand the Bible is not just based on if we study the Bible. It's also based on how. Now, as with everything else, we're going to use God's word to see the elements that must exist in order to successfully study your word. First of all, our purpose. Now, this purpose part is your entire life, the why you're doing anything. Our purpose must be to please God only. Now, I can't stress that enough, and many think you're doing that, but if you look at your life, there are elements in your life where you say you're trying to please God, but you'll do it your way in how you worship and what you listen to and what you don't. Watch how you are in your relationships, like your marriage. If you're not displaying what the Bible says, no, you're not trying to please God. How you raise your kids, how you are with your money, how you deal with politics and things that you enjoy. How do you deal with these things? Can somebody call you out on it and you go straight to the Word? And if you're trying to please God, the answer is, of course. Is that the case? It shows in Galatians 6, 7 through 8. And this should be the key to everybody's focus in life, where he says, do not be deceived. And deception is a choice. When he gives me the command not to be deceived, he says, God cannot be mocked. And what that means is, in many cases, you can fool me that you are very firm in your word. I'm doing all I can to know what God wants. Now, once again, if you fool me, it's only harming you. It's not about fooling anybody. But he's saying one person that can't be fooled or played around with is God. You ever see those people that know how to turn it on when they get around certain people to make it look like they're something? Well, that's what these people do. And I hate to say it, a majority does this. They like to come off holier than thou, and they're trying to mock God. Then he gives us the answer. A man reaps what he sows. And then he breaks it down. The one who sows to please his sinful nature. So it's not about what you do. It's why you do it. So what are you doing? What are you planting for to please my sinful nature? In other words, I want a certain outcome. Part of it may be to please God. Part of it may be to make this work out. Part of it is so I'm not lonely. Part of it is so I can worship God my way. All of that is pleasing the sinful nature. When you just add God to something, that's still part of the sinful nature. Okay? He says, from that nature will reap destruction. So he already gave you. Anybody whose purpose is not pleasing God is headed to hell. Can you make it any clearer? And just to make sure it's clear, he shows the alternative. The one who sows to please the Spirit. Now that means I'm solely wanting to please God. I want to hear what his word says and do it. That's it. I don't care how much sense it makes, because my faith says this is what he says. And I'm going to clearly understand his word using his word, as we're going to see here. And then he says, from the Spirit we'll reap eternal life. Many have no idea what that means. But it's clearly, they don't understand because they have allowed a man to come and say, hey, say these few words, and then you'll have that, period. You're going to heaven and nothing can happen with that. They can't soundly show you that, but we accept that. And then it really puts us in a mess. When they can say, here is his word soundly, and we're going to talk about that, then you can go with it. But that, what I just said, they say, is not there. That's number one. You have to have your purpose straight. Then secondly, we must focus, be taught, and understand spiritually. You see that? I'll say it again. We must focus, be taught, and understand spiritually. Even when you use the word spiritually, you get some people that mix that up with emotion. They act like something's happening that only they can see because they're mystics and all this other nonsense. And even though that stuff of things that supernatural do exist in it, every Christian has access to this spirituality because it's something you must have. So in it, you're recognizing I'm not leaning upon intellect. I'm not leaning upon emotions. I'm not leaning upon culture. And I'm not leaning upon ignorance. I'm simply doing what he says. That's spiritual. When you teach me, I'll be able to go check it. Do you understand that? When I study it, my understanding will come from it. You see this? 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14 makes this clear. He says, we have not received the spirit of the world. Okay, the spirit of the world is demonic. But the Spirit who is from God, okay? That's God himself within us, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So the receiving, when you first get saved, you have access. The problem is we don't access him. You'll get the Holy Spirit, you'll accept Christ, then you'll start intellectually, emotionally, traditionally, ignorantly, all of this doing stuff. You'll still do stuff out of how you think God should do it. It's the same way a baby does when you take something away from them because you as the parent know better, and they just start crying because they know no better. The only thing in their mind is, but I wanted it. here you are taking it from me. Do you get this? All right? So he makes clear in verse 13, this is what we speak. So now you got to look at your teachers, and we're going to talk more about them later, but this is what you have to look for them. He says, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Now, when we start creating these worldly colleges, see, the difference between the disciples and the people of old, they was taught directly from Christ. What was taught later are these organizations, and they taught you culture. They taught you culture. The majority of churches today are not teaching the gospel. They're teaching the gospel according to their culture. This is why it causes division. This is why it doesn't use the entire Bible. This is why there are elements of worship and other things in there that are not in the Bible. Have you ever questioned that? Probably not. And we just go into it. As Paul says, you put up with it easily enough. Or as Paul is inspired to say. Do you get this? Okay. He says, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by spirit. When somebody kind of announces some old man and they're quoting him, unless that man is quoting the Bible, it becomes meaningless immediately. He says, but in words taught by the spirit. And what are they doing? Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. All right. So you're looking at this and you're like, all right. So it's going to be spiritual truth. That means fully sound, supported by the Bible. Not by the world. And it's going to hit spiritual words. They are different translation. That's why a person who just reads the Bible really is not getting it. Because he says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him. It's gibberish. So they try to intellectually understand it. And the problem is the church now is full of leaders with human intellect. And we're so impressed with their human intellect, they give us things about the Bible, and this is why we ignore it. This is why I've asked people as I grew up, and just simple questions, so why don't we do this anymore? And then I'll hear this intellectual answer. What I didn't hear is, oh, because the Bible said this here. That's all you needed. But if the Bible didn't say that, why then would you make anything up to say we don't have to do this now? And without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness to him, and he, watch this, cannot understand them. It's impossible for an unspiritual person to understand the Word of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. I need the Spirit to separate, to distinguish, to determine, to understand what this Word is. To know how it's used, to know what love they're using when they say the word love, to understand how hell works, to understand all of it. When you add and start adding human elements to it, we have a problem. When you start getting in a feel-good moment and say, what does this mean to you? We're in a problem. Spiritually discern means you're supported by the word. Thirdly, you need to realize that God's word is perfect, and we are never to add to it. Over and over again, and you still even hear people who call themselves spiritual leaders somehow show a flaw throughout the years. Man has done this or that with the Bible, so how can we trust it? See, what people don't realize, one of the biggest celebrations, and even though it wasn't needed, but it was nice to have it for those who still allow sight to get in the way, still didn't help everybody. But when they found the scribes, you know what I mean, and they brought the things from 1,000 years ago, and they found the book of Isaiah in there, and in the translation, word for word, fit how Isaiah is today. And it was fascinating. Nothing was changed. There was no a distortion of the words at all. And that's why people were excited by it. Do you understand that? Okay, so they seen these things that were put away in a cave for multiple years, and then when they found them, voila, still the same. But even if he didn't find that, a trusting God, God himself tells us, my words are perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. So why am I reading the Bible? To get the right way. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say a way. He didn't even say a very great way. He said the way. And we still follow multiple ways. How do you know, Pastor? Look at us now. if you're being honest, you're following some sort of ideology in this world that is very much distorting your walk. This is the most painful thing you sit here and watch. Because all of us, our flesh, we desire something. And these other ideologies feed that something. The problem is, we are not to follow what we desire. We are just supposed to follow the way. His way is perfect. And watch what he says here. The word of the Lord is flawless. Some may go, but it seems like exactly. Why does he stress what we walk by, which we'll talk about? You understand? We keep going by our senses. And some of us stay in the comfort of our senses as we read the word, and you're forever lost. Until you come up out of that, you're always going to be confused, always going to be lost, because you're still depending on a feeling. You're still depending on a oh moment, because you want it to be right by you. It goes on and says, now watch this. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. I'm going to explain that. Let me read the second part of this. There's another couple of other verses which shows this importance, but let's see this other one in here. Proverbs 30:5-6. It says, every word of God is flawless. Once again, we're getting this. We read this Bible, and we have to read it with that in mind. Nope, this is from God. This is the answer. Not, he couldn't have meant this. The only time we do that is if we are making sure the translation was correct. Right? Translations can be adjusted because our words are, but for the most part, there's nothing that really throws people off. Okay, but it's the thing you have to understand, it's still in line, and his words are flawless. Then it says again, he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Now, the significance of that statement is to let us understand his protection only works for those who go in his protection. Let me show you what humans teach. His protection is chasing me around, protecting me. This is why so many professing Christians are getting their spiritual butts kicked. Why? Because we're not taking refuge in him. We're assuming his refuge is chasing us. But remember, he's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Remember in the, what does it say in the armor of God? Take up the shield of faith. Why do I have to take it up? We want it so it's covering me all the time. Isn't this great? No. When I live by faith, I'm taking up my protection. When I go through emotion, when I go through ideology, when I follow emotion and intelligence and culture's way of dealing with things, every time those arrows are coming in and they're hitting me, and it's my fault. Verse 6 says, do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. And it happens over and over again. I'll hear people that will come back and say, the Lord will. Sounds great. Now show me that in God's word. And they'll give, I believe, and I think. Some they'll even blame it, and I think the Lord's telling me. Then we'll see it go another way. And you're like, well, what just happened? I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Because people are too busy trying to be that one messenger instead of being the vessel where God is just being displayed. Number 4, we have to recognize the Bible is from God, not man. Man just wrote what God said. One of the most disturbing things is when I hear ministers get up there and then they like to tell the story. And once again, they like to sound profound because they want them to be one of the disciples or those who scribe the word of God. And they like to think, I sat there and something profound came to me and I wrote it in my book so everybody can go, wow. But it's made clear in God's word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17. He says, all scripture is God breathed. What that means is all came from God. It made clear, not just inspired by, came from. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I'm going to give you two things in here I want you to make sure you get. First of all, knowing it all comes from God. So when I am teaching you something, when I'm correcting you on something you should know better or correcting on something that you don't know, or when I'm putting it into action, I'm training on something, it all better be based on God's word. You understand that? He's saying it's useful for these because that's what I'm supposed to use. not my experience, not how I see it, not following some people that I respect. It has to come from God's word. And if done right, it says in verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that line in itself is something that we have to recognize, because reason why we have a hard time dealing in the world today is we have allowed man to interject things that are called good. We go out and we try to be helpful, okay? We try to be helpful, while in reality, we cause confusion. Why do we cause confusion? Because we're following other forms that give us advice on things that may seem good at moments, while he just said, if I now allow the scripture to be the full foundation of everything I do, it says man will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know how to deal in every situation at all times. That's incredible to have that tool. So if we have that, why is it then we still lean upon other things? Why is it we still depend on other ways in order to deal with this? Help me with that. You know what I mean? And because they feel good. 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21 shows, above all, you must understand, no prophecy of Scripture came from the prophet's own interpretation. I heard a couple of ministers do this. They were like, Paul was probably going through this and thought to himself. Why? Because I love to give credit to the man. Love to give credit to the man. Right? And this is in Peter. And, you know, they'll kind of, Peter had this, and because this hit him, and he must have had this. And why did they want that also? Because they wanted it to happen to them. When I went through this turmoil, you know, then I felt, and I came to this, so I wrote a book. And there's some of us who foolishly follow these men's books more than we follow the Bible. In fact, these books, at times, many times more than not, will tell us how to ignore the Bible or to distort it. And we foolishly follow it. So when he says, you must understand no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, it just erased every man that I was going to quote that I may have read up on. Only thing I look for is if they use God's word to give me a little more clarity, a little more guidance. That's the only thing he's looking for in you. He's not looking for you to create another way of looking at stuff. He says, verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. It was never something that he's going to say, this great man's going to make up some profound things. Even Jesus, who is God, only says exactly what God tells him. That's it. He says, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by this Holy Spirit. That's the key. It's God speaking through man. Please know that. Right? Be very skeptical the first time somebody quotes any man of knowledge. Well, Dr. So-and-such said, or Mr. So-and-such. Please be very careful of that. 5, we must recognize the Bible is timeless and alive. I understand the world saying this because it's foolishness to them. But when you hear a Christian kind of give, well, it was written so long ago, how can it stay up with times? It's another person that doesn't understand God's word, who's not walking by faith, because the Bible itself shows me in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. There's other scriptures. I'm giving some basics, and I'll let you know if there's others that you have to read to show the soundness, but these are sound doctrines. It says, for the word of God, watch this, is living and active. Now, I can't be of old when I'm still here, is what he's saying. One thing I noticed in any counseling that I do is I had to pull away Keith's advice, because I'll see some things. Sometimes it'll make me cringe. Sometimes I'll think, oh, it's very clear. Sometimes I'll think, oh, this answer is hard. I'll have my own opinion. I have had times where people will talk and I'm like, this is impossible. You can't deal with this. What the word has done in every case has provided the word that's needed, right? Might not be the most desirable word, but it is word that's needed. So when he says living and active, it is actually talking to Jesus. You're getting the answer you need. Where we struggle is because it's not the answer we always want. He says, sharper than any double-edged sword. And I think it's always been great how they put it, because what the Bible does is both things. It does a medical surgery cut. It heals us, but it still takes a cut. Right? But it also will do a punishment cut, right? It will destroy those. So what did he say? I'm going to destroy you with the sword of my mouth. He says that in Revelations. Why? Because in many cases, when somebody attacks, and I've gone through many of these debates, and people will come out with logic, they'll go out by over-talking me, they'll go out, they'll be much smarter than me, and they'll hit me with a lot of stuff and conspiracies and nonsense. The only thing that sticks with me is they haven't shown the word. Now, other people may go, yeah, I heard them, and I was convinced, and so on and so forth. And that even disturbs you, only because they're convinced because they were convinced. They were not convinced based on his word. Can you soundly take everything that you received and go, well, let me check God's word? I've made this challenge in many cases on anybody that follows any political group. You soundly show me in God's word that they're God's group, I'm all in. I will campaign for every group, and nobody's allowed to do it, right? The liberals like to come off as they're the most compassionate group, but they compassionately accept sin, right? The conservative group only uses, they use abortion as their thing while they're mean to poor people, and they hold up rich and elite people. But you say anything about those things, they hurt and come back to abortion. Do you see how we are mocking God? I only use them when it's convenient for me. Right? It's a passage we take ignorantly, misleading people. So it cuts us both ways, and it penetrates, and what this is showing, the three things that we are, it penetrates the soul, which you are. You are a soul. So it goes through what I am, the spirit, which we have. Every man has a spirit. When you're a Christian, you also have the Holy Spirit, but you still have a spirit of man within you, which communes with God and wants to get you to God. So this Bible will show us how to have that relationship. And then joints and marrow, and it judges thoughts and attitude. That's the flesh. They come into the actual physical flesh, and it touches in what we may call our mental, emotional flesh. If I use the word, it covers everything. And he made clear, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. This word shows us. I know some of us say, what about when we find out this? How come when this comes? The Bible already covered it. You may not see it because you don't know it exists, but the Bible already covered it. He says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Let that last part, to whom we must give an account, sink in. See, your protection, and I probably could even stop here, even if I said this, your only guidance of any type of judgment and passage to the word will be because your word said, right? If I've gone to a meeting, and I did this, I had this one boss, and he was always one that would try to bash certain people. So I made sure, I always asked him, so is it okay? Do you want me to do this? Hey, I just wanted to make clear, how do you want me to do this? And I wrote everything down. And I remember when he would then question, I don't understand why you would do this. This doesn't make any sense. And I would say, well, in this email or in this meeting we had, your exact words were, yep, I think that's fine. So in other words, you said, I did it because you said. Now, of course, that's somebody in the world trying to harm you, but it's the same protection follows. But even more so, what God is saying, just do what I say and you're covered. There are things we're doing that the Bible says, I know in our hearts and our minds, we're going, oh, man, is this really working? Is this really right? I didn't like how that turned out with that person. See, now we get involved instead of just going, I did what he told me. I did what he told me and how he told me to do. Right? We place all of that out there because we have to give an account to God. There's a lot of people who temporary outcome seems like it's turning out well, and only they're going to find out the hard way when they have to answer God and go, so Keith, why did you do that? My answer of, well, it was successful. Well, everybody liked it. Well, it went in the right way. He's going to go, once again, why did you do that? Because there's only one right answer. Because you said. Then you have to let go of old ways of thinking in every way and look to the Bible for the right way to think. Romans 12, 2, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. First, you must stop that way of thinking. I don't know many who have done this. Do you? I've known people who were one way. There were certain things they stopped. And they're so proud that they just don't do that anymore. But their overall way of thinking is still their way of thinking. All right? I heard a great question where somebody was asking, why do I still have these same thoughts and feelings and whatever when they got into a relationship? And I was explaining to them, because the flesh is so inconsistent. It's so unreliable. That's why we must be spiritual. So he's saying, stop going off of what you went over before. If I get into a relationship as a non-Christian, and there's flaws and everything in it, right? I'm going to look at that entire relationship now when I get into another one, or if I'm going to fix that one, when I become spiritual, and it's going to be 100% God. It isn't going to be me filling in spots that I think I need to fill in with God while I continue in my flesh. Because when he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the throat, he means, Keith, you were doing that, stop. But he says, be transformed. God is going to do the transformation in us. How do we do it? By the renewing of your mind. How was I with them before? I'm going to show patience. I'm going to show true godly love. I'm going to show true godly kindness. I'm going to recognize the significance and the sacredness of marriage. I'm going to recognize the significance and sacredness of sex. I'm going to realize my responsibility to my family and to my job. Do you see where I'm going with this? That's renewing. Oh, I used to do this. I can't do this anymore. You see this? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You see this? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll be in sync with God, even though the rest of the world's going, why is he going that way? Right? Why is he going that way? I told you I use Waze. People know that it isn't even when we had to go into work. My job was, what, 5-10 minutes away, but close and everything. And, you know, I could take the same way home every day. But the thing that I saw in it is when I put that on and there was an accident or something, it would take me another way. And I'm sure somebody who didn't have it, who knew where I live, would have watched me sometimes and say, why is he going straight? Why is he not turning? Why isn't he? And the only thing is I realized I had this device now to redirect when needed. I stopped doing the way I thought, and I start redirecting as I was taught. That's just an electronic, small example, not God. God is going to be perfect in every way he has it. Now, you must recognize what many are doing is trying to continue their old ways while adding God's ways, which are conflicting. Got to let that sink in, because if you don't do this, you don't do any of this, you're going to keep just reading and not getting it. And you've seen what happened to a large group of people. Jesus was right there. He's saying, this word is explaining me to a T, and you're not getting it, even though you said you were here to be saved. Now, you must regularly attend a Bible teaching church. Many have wiped out this element. Not attend a church, period. It must be a Bible teaching church, not some made you feel good ministry church, Bible teaching church. And just to show you, this is explaining the church. Ephesians 4:11-16, it was he, which is putting out first, he's the one who created this, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. That is church leadership. They all play a role. He created that. And why did he create them? To do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. Now, that's the first part. So it's not for non-Christians. They can go to church if they want, but we're going back up to that spiritual part where they can't understand it because it's foolishness to them. You see, parts of the works of service is us ministering to them for them to accept the calling, then receive and understand spirituality. Now they know what they're looking for. It hurts me when I see so many people emotionally go to church. I want to feel. There are aspects that I'm responsible for doing. Like if I just wanted to come because I wanted to preach, I'm already set up because I'm going after an action. But if I want to serve God and preaching happens to be part of it, amen. You see the difference? Okay, so the church is to prepare God's people for works of service. Now, why do I have to attend it? You know, with all the electronics, can't I just read the book and kind of go over it? Because it's to prepare God's people so that the body of Christ may be built up. So I got to work with others in the body. Does that make sense? I have to work with others in the body so the body may be built up until, here we go, we all reach unity. So this isn't a me passage, right? This isn't a me. We need to look forward to getting together and having godly conversation, godly application, godly edification in every case that we do until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. I want to get amongst groups of people and find out that I'm wrong. I want to be among groups of people and present the word and that'll help others until we all are in sync with God. You see, today there's a lot of nonsense going on. That's not the problem. God told us this junk was going to happen. Where I'm struggling with it is watching the differences coming from one body. It's called a disease. When I see people who support things that are not in the Bible, when I see people who condemn things that the Bible said we must do, right? When I see division in the Bible, not based off of the Bible, but based off of human ideology, we're not doing this unity. We're not doing this unity that must exist. And the unity is in faith. That means doing exactly what God said. And knowledge, which is the relationship we have with Christ. It should look the same. It's not something that's a mystery and, oh, how can we fix this? It's us. If I stay, and I had to affirm, because I always wanted to go, let's argue it, let's have debates now. Only thing I can do is continue to do what his word says. So if somebody asks me what the Bible said, that's what I have to do. I have to stay firm with that. So when I get somebody saying, and they use scripture wrong, and then we can do what God says. And I'm going to show you what God has shown us in the future. Because if they use scripture to support their thing and not use sound doctrine, there is a way to understand it. Once again, I have to be in the word. If I do all this, and so the Son of God to become mature, so that we reach a point now we get solid meat, we can distinguish between good and evil, we do all of that. He says, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that's when we all truly look the body of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheme. Then, see, where we miss it is we never get to the then. I know people who have been Christians for decades and still get easily misled, still follow ideologies, still have things in their lives which are not in line with God. They are still being tossed back and forth. Somebody says the right thing, they hit a nerve. Watch some news source that hits something that they enjoy or don't enjoy. Do you understand that? Some feeling or emotion that bothers their desires, and they're all over the place. Things like, they're confused. That's all I wanted. He said, but here's what we get instead, speaking the truth in love. That's the first thing. The only thing I'll be able to say, if I'm in sync with the rest of the body, I'm going to be able to say something. Somebody go, yeah, that's in the word of God. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We'll all represent the same thing. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its part, I realize I play a part. Of course, we can get more and more into that. So now you've seen the structure and the purpose of the godly church. So you may go, how do I know this is a true Bible teaching church? Well, we make sure it's a true Bible teaching church by making sure the messages are from the word. He shows in Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of a more noble character. Is he playing favorites? No. He's saying this is what everybody should possess. This is the character that you want to see in every Christian, that he says more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? Thessalonians probably went there and went, amen, and went and told people, man, they really preached the word of God. They're one of those that would just give a whole bunch of adoration and acceptance of somebody because they liked them. They liked what they heard. Thessalonians. But what did the Bereans do? It says they received the message. Okay, so they got it. With great eagerness, nothing got in the way of them receiving it. Watch this. And examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They weren't in awe of Paul, right? They were in reverence of the scripture. I do that. I don't care who's speaking. It did a huge thing, because of course, like every other, we grew up in a church where we gave so much all to ministers. They could tell us anything. And they have. And a ton of these organizations have misled, and we blindly just accepted what they said. Eighth, stay in the word only. I told you they have this new way where they're telling people, "Ed, go back to history and find out what really happened," and they'll tell you anything. And like I said, they're using it for you to distort scripture. But watch what he says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written.'" If you ever went to 2 John, he even told that person who runs ahead, does not know Christ, is not a Christian. It's another one of our things that protects us if we just follow it. He was like, don't even invite him into your home. Right? Do not go beyond what is written. So when I hear somebody use the Bible and then they come off with, you know, because then back in the day, they used to do this and that. That's why we also do this. What do you mean we also do this? I didn't see that part in the Bible. Yeah, but they also, and they had, and they start adding these other things or they take away these things. Don't go beyond what is written. He says, then you will not take pride in one man over against another. We wouldn't be stuck in these bad organizations, and what makes them different are people that have added to it. All teaching must be done with sound doctrine. Titus 2, verse 1 says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. That little passage says a whole lot. First of all, I must teach what's in line with sound doctrine. What does sound doctrine look like, and how does it protect us, as I was talking about earlier? Like I said, it's going to start off with somebody maybe using scripture to support what they're saying. Sounds great. But we better, in our study, understanding, and this is why I teach the way I do, topical, to grab as much on that topic. So then if somebody says something, I can then go, and remember, the Bible complements itself, then I can go, it is also written. That's powerful. Remember when Jesus did that to Satan? He didn't go, there's not in the Bible. He didn't say that, because it is. You used it out of context, not necessarily, because it was. He just made sure, oh, yeah, that's there, but did you also read this? That's how the Bible is used, to complement, right? I can do this as long as it's not this. That's what the Bible does for us. It is also written. Sound. Did I get everything on that topic before I start preaching on that topic? Or did I just pick one part of it that I liked? Right? It's like taking medication. Take this every night. If I stop there, right, am I good? Most parts, you're not. How many times have people heard that take every night, but you missed on empty stomach? Or you missed with something in your stomach? Can make a huge difference, but you still took part of it. And you could say, well, no, it told me to take every night. And that's what we do with the Bible. It says this here. Yeah, but it also says, come on, Christians, we know better than this. Quit doing that. And then we have to test all teachings. Like we saw what the Bereans did. This is mandatory for everybody. I tell those who listen to me, please test me. Please check me. Don't take my word for it. I don't want that type of love. I don't want you just to love me because I'm your pastor, if that's the case. Don't. If you want to love me, check me. Do not trust me, right? If I present the word, you're going to do like the Bereans. He tells us in 1 John 4, 1 to 3, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That's our goal. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Jesus coming in the flesh was the coming of the new covenant, which we know is the New Testament. So now we have the full New Testament, and everything I teach has to be in line with that. You got it? And so that's why, as a Berean now, I can go back to the New Testament. They just had the Old Testament during that time when they were checking Paul and everything else in that time as it was growing into the Word. Now we have the New Testament. We have Jesus coming in the flesh, and I can measure everything by that. But he made clear in verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. The minute I get some sort of historical, traditional answer that I'm following, emotional, cultural answer that I'm following, but I can't get it supported by the word. Like I said, we're in a country right now that many people foolishly think the worship of our country is the same thing as worshiping God. God and country, and they'll praise their flag, and they'll think the Constitution is sacred, and they'll go back into history, and they will support wrong things that are not biblical, not from God. Absolutely, positively not from God. There was a minister who was online saying certain groups of people preaching wrong and people to hell. What he doesn't realize is that same minister, the stuff that he's teaching is not sound with God's word, so they're not from God. Check the plank before you look at the speck. He makes clear this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. That spirit has always existed to distort us, and just like Satan, who comes as an angel of light, will use the Bible to distort us if we don't follow his instruction. Number 11, we must use the Bible to interpret the Bible. I used to hear, and I still some people say it in a crazy way, everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible. Y'all know that's called chaos, right? The Bible doesn't teach that. Teach things done in order. Now, in Genesis 4, verse 8, it says, we both had dreams, okay? Genesis kind of set the stage for the one answer. They answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said to them, now watch what the translation says, and I encourage you to go back. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Somebody go, is this talking about dreams? He didn't say interpretations of dreams, all interpretations. That's why when somebody has a dream and somebody says, I'm a dream expert, be careful. If somebody looks at the sky and says, I can tell you what the times are, be careful. All interpretations belong to God. You want to understand something, go to God. And it's never failed. When I want to know something and something's a little fuzzy, I go back into the Bible and the Bible shows me, oh, okay, get it. If I, once again, just use a section or find some profound answer, I'm setting myself up. Then we have to apply the most important resource in order to get it. And he's using an example of people that have failed on this so we won't fail. We have to do it through faith. Stop going to the Bible to support what you think you understand. I'm going to say it again. Stop going to the Bible for what you think you understand. Go to the Bible for understanding. Some of us already have an image of or a concept of God. And what we try to do is go through the word to support our concept of God. That's why you have many people, once again, going back are liberal and conservative, and they're standing 10 toes down on that ideology until you're called on it. And all your ideology, show me it in the word. Because you had an understanding and you want the word to support it. That's doomed for hell, period. Right? But I must have faith. And what does faith look like? Hebrews 4, verse 2 says, for we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did. So the Israelites had that same gospel of God preached to them. But the message they heard, now pay attention, this is what's happening to many, was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. So no, faith isn't just because I read. Right? I get faith from reading, but I have to read with faith. What is that? I'm just going to get what he says. And then when I do what he says, I am now gaining and living by faith. But when I go in there and I'm one of those people who go, but I just don't understand it. And you could say that, but if I allow that to hinder and stop me, I didn't add faith to it. The whole time he took the Israelites and they went into the land, and because of what the spies saw, it went against what God said. We do the same thing today. Look how we are with marriage. Look how we are with church. Look how we are with life. How are we dealing with things? The way God said or how we see? You see, complete trust in God is the only way you're going to have that true faith. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And look at the warning, and lean not on your own understanding. That means you're going to look at it and it's not going to make sense, but you know he clearly says what he said, and you go, amen. And in fact, he says in all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge him. I'm going to check with him all my ways, even when I feel sure, because I want him, as it says, he will make your path straight. Are you getting this? And then in order for this to happen, he says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. I used to be so envious because you just have some people that, man, that know and have this understanding of things. But the problem is it's their wisdom. As I've grown, I've realized there's a lot of people who have their own wisdom. And it's fascinating, but it's downright dangerous for them to apply it because they're wise in their own eyes. They'll get something out. They want to be that person. But this is what I think God's trying to say. And then trying to give you once again something to be profound. He said, fear the Lord and shun evil. Not show how bright you are. No. I'm going to stick and be that person to go, but God said not to do it. Somebody go, no, he couldn't have meant this. And then he give me all these equations and stuff like that. And this is why we don't have to do it. I'm still going to go, but God said this. Until you show me otherwise by God, that's the fear of God, then I'm in trouble. With me? Fear him, shun evil. I fear him by just doing what he says, I avoid evil. And then it all comes down to then, I'm going in the word and do what it says. James 1, 22 through 25 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, which we do, right? We deceive ourselves by just reading it. People who know how to quote scripture like the back of their hands, and they know it. They understand they understand to say it. But he says, do what it says. Don't just read it and say you read it. I've heard people, I read the Bible. I haven't seen any change in your life, so obviously you didn't. Because he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. The purpose, you're looking at it in the mirror to see how you look. And you leave and go, wait a minute. Then everything you just did was worthless. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. Did y'all catch this? It's not a one-time thing so you can brag about it. It's a continual practice, not forgetting what he has heard. In other words, I want to build it up. I want to understand. I want to make sure it's a part of everything I do, but doing it. I'm reading it to do it, not just to say it, but do it. He will be blessed in what he does. Do y'all see these steps clearly given out? And when it's all said and done, repeat. 2 Peter 1, 13 to 15. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He started in 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory. Start it again and continue to keep being refreshed. Please don't be that person that think, okay, I've studied everything. I got it all figured out. Now I'm going to do different things. Do it again, like from the beginning. But each time you do it, you're going to keep maturing. You're going to see it more intensely. You're going to really grasp more of it if your true purpose is to please him. I encourage you, step by step, go through each of these things, because each of these could have small ministries, sermons in themselves, you know, order my steps, or they could actually be full-fledged sermons. But these are within themselves showing you these elements must exist in order for you to fully grasp the word of God in your life. And you must fully grasp the word of God in your life, because it provides us the life we need. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity in order to receive your word. We want to walk in your ways, always looking to you, doing what you would have us to do. Help us not to be misled, dear Lord, by our own feelings, by what we see, but to always walk by faith. So many distractions, so many things going on in the world that we get caught up, dear God, in what we think, and we miss out on what you say. We want to stay focused, and we thank you for blessing us with this perfect word that gives us everything we need at all times. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say,